Hi, and welcome to the North Monroe College Ministry Podcast. Thank you for listening. To stay up to date with the college family, follow us on social media at northmonroe.college. We hope you enjoy this week's message, and remember you are loved.
For make sure we turn on the right phone. All right. So tonight we're going to be going into a relationship series, but tonight we're going to talk about friendship. All right, so we're going to talk about the characteristics of a God-honoring friendship. So when you think about friends, do you think about your best friend? Do you think about like a movie that has like best friends in it? Anything come to mind when you think about best friends? Nothing. The movie Step Brothers. Okay. Dumb and Dumber. Okay. What else? Friends. Does the show Friends come to mind? Okay. 21 Jump Street. Okay. Anything else? Best Friends. That 70s show? Okay. What about your friends you grew up with? Best friends. Friends that you could go and pick up from where you left off. Can you think about those? Can you think back to the first time y'all met? Do you remember where you met? Yes? All right, so when we talk about this, something that like constantly came to mind was my college experience. So as y'all go into college, you go to orientations, you go to the first couple weeks of class, feels like just a waste of time and a lot of things. And you're just like, hey, I'm done with syllabus day for the rest of my life. I don't need another syllabus day. But I think about my college experience with the friends that I made in college, the friends that I made in college that are still my friends to this day. And so it's awesome to see how your friends, even though I have high school friends and friends I grew up with, the friends that I met in college are the ones that I'm closest with still to this day. So as we talk about friendship, we're going to be in 1 Samuel 18. We're going to be in the Old Testament tonight. We're going to be talking about a relationship between David and Jonathan. And you're like, what? All right, so it'll make sense in just a second. So the book of Samuel is telling us about a vital relationship between David and King Saul's son, Jonathan. All right. So when we enter into 1 Samuel 18, David has just defeated Goliath. And he is brought to King Saul. And he's basically like, here I am. I defeated the Philistines. I defeated Goliath. And so it intros into the new relationship that David is about to have and the close relationship that he is about to have with Saul's son, Jonathan. Saul ultimately will want to kill David throughout 1 Samuel and into 2 Samuel, where Saul ends up dying. But we'll get to that in just a second. So 1 Samuel 18, open there. Doing this one-handed with a Bible is going to be very difficult. All right, so 1 Samuel 18. The right. Now I'm just like completely. Yeah, sorry. No, I'm reading this. Okay, 1 Samuel 18. Different translation. Classic. That I have in my... Okay, so 1 Samuel 18, does it say, as soon as he has finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Is that correct? Okay. I'm going to move that to the side. Sorry. Okay. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. He loved him as his own family member is what that means. And as Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt, David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. So Saul set him over to the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So what it means when he says it gives him his own soul. He takes him in as family. Jonathan strips himself of his robe. He is not naked, so just know that. He's giving him everything. He is the heir to the throne of Saul's throne. He's giving him everything over to David, saying that, hey, I believe in you. I believe in what you've done. I believe in what God has done in your life. I'm giving you the heir to the throne. You will be the heir to the throne. He's giving him his sword, his armor, his belt, and his bow. So this is signifying, in verse 3, they became friends. They became family. They were close-knit best friends. And in 14, Jonathan strips himself of his robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword. He is giving a sacrifice. So tonight we're going to talk about five different things that we can pull from the story. Sacrifice is the first thing. Placing someone's well-being before yourself. So as a friend, you have to understand that you are going to make sacrifices. Being a friend can prepare you for things like marriage, dating, marriage, and having kids, because you'll be making sacrifices throughout those things. If you have a college roommate, you've been making sacrifices. You moved from your parents' house into an apartment. You live with somebody that you're not used to living with, so you're making sacrifices. You're trying to agree who can have the TV, who's going to clean dishes. So you're making sacrifices. You are giving something up for someone else's good. After David accomplished killing Goliath, Jonathan recognized his potential. So when he came to Saul, he saw what he had already done, and he offered him everything. To make this symbolic gesture of not just welcoming David into the family, but giving him everything and being an heir, is saying, hey, I am putting my needs and wants above. I'm putting your needs and wants above what I want, because I was the heir to the throne. Saul brought you in, and I wanted to be close to you and be close to the God that you served. So in the same way that David and Jonathan became friends, it's the same relationship that we have with Jesus. Jesus needs to be our ultimate best friend. And I don't say that in a cheesy way. He needs to be our ultimate friend because he gave his life so that we could be in a right relationship with God. Okay, he gave the ultimate sacrifice. We can't give our lives physically. We can give our lives spiritually to him and serving him. The next thing is loyalty. The loyalty. Feeling of strong support and allegiance. So in a relationship and a friendship, loyalty is one of the key elements that you need and have to have for your relationship to be strong. Because loyalty will show you who is going to be there in the tough times. Have you ever been stabbed in the back? Have you ever walked up to somebody and hey, my back's hurting. Can you pull that knife out right here? Have you ever been stabbed in the back? When loyalty is questioned, the dynamic of our friendships kind of turns a little bit we're not as solid as we think we were. Something that you need to think of is Proverbs 18:24. A man of many friends will come to ruin, but there is one friend that sticks closer than a brother. Many scholars believe that it's talking about really close friends sticking by you no matter what. And then others say that Jesus is the reference in that. That no matter what, Jesus will be with you. So friends will change all of your life. You'll have a set few friends that you grew up with, that you always know. But they will always be changing. You'll be changing different jobs. You'll be getting different friends where you move. And as children, we oftentimes base our friendships off of fun. So the fun we have with them, the fun toys that they have. And then when we grow up, our friendships are based on loyalty. Because it's the foundation of the friendships. So it's awesome to have a ton of friends. to have a ton of followers on social media and all that stuff. But it's even better to have a core group of friends in your life and to really know the friends that are loyal in the good times and the bad. So if you want to strengthen your loyalty to someone, be present, communicate, and believe in your friend. Believe in your friend. Whatever they're going through, believe in them that they will get through it and be there to support them. So David moved into a kingship through Jonathan's sacrifice and loyalty to him. The third one that we're going to go over is honesty. Do you know your best friend's story? Do you actually know what they struggle with? Do you actually know their family life? Do you actually know your friends at all? Do you only know them because y'all hang out together from time to time, but you don't ever talk about anything really serious? You need to share your struggles. You need to share everything in your life. You do not need to have these walls constantly up, because your relationship and your friendship with other people should be drawing you closer to your relationship with Christ. So be honest with your struggles and talk about the things that are going on in your life. Because most people never want to talk about their issues because they think people will hold their issues against them, manipulate them. And that does not need to be the case. And with honesty, you need to be honest and share your thoughts, hurts, but you also need to share your concerns. If you see somebody struggling, you need to call them out in a loving way. All right? You need to be honest. So we're going to move to 1 Samuel 20, 41 through 42. So 1 Samuel 20, 41 through 42. As soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another, David weeping the most. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, because we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between you and me, between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" And he rose up and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So, in between 1 Samuel 18 and 1 Samuel 20, Saul is so jealous of David, he wants to kill him because of his popularity. And so what he's doing, he's on the run. And so Jonathan meets with him, and Jonathan's saying like, "Hey, my dad is going to, he wants to kill you. And I know that is the stress and anxiety." So they're the last, one of the last times they meet is in this verses before Jonathan actually dies a few chapters later. And Jonathan's being honest. They're both being honest. They're crying. They're weeping. They're kissing one another. And they're sharing this time to be like, "Hey, I love you as a friend. I care about you. But above all, the Lord is with us. The Lord is between you and me, between my offspring and your offspring forever." So there's no ill intent in any of it. "So go in peace, because we have both sworn in the name of the Lord," saying that he is giving them their confidence, whatever they're struggling with, and David's life is on the line with Saul. He's being honest. And also in the same time, Jonathan doesn't have to tell David that his dad is going to kill him. But he does. He gives him honesty. He tells him that this is coming. He wants him to know. So a couple of verses that I want y'all to just write the reference down. Philippians 2:3. Philippians 2:3. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." So what this means is, do not take anything that you hear from your friends and use it against them for selfish reasons. Do not do this. So Proverbs 27:17. Y'all probably all heard this verse. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Friendships are supposed to be to strengthen your walk with the Lord. A good friend helps you become the best version of yourself to be the best witness for the Lord. And it's also our responsibility to come alongside and be a godly friend and encouragement to them. And then the last verse in this part is Proverbs 27:5-6. 27:5-6. It says, King Solomon provided wisdom regarding the necessity of rebuking people, correcting people, when they're trying to correct their path back to God. This is Proverbs 27:5-6. It says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. An enemy multiplies kisses. So when you get in trouble, you get called out by your friend, you may feel like, man, I didn't want this to happen. This is not what it's supposed to be. But it is better for them to call you out than for you to continually walk down the wrong path. So 1 Samuel 23. So we're going to move a couple more chapters. The next thing is, the fourth point is encouragement. Encouragement. And we will be in 23:15-18. Encouragement. David was in the wilderness of Ziph in Horesh when he saw that Saul had come out to take his life. Then Saul's son Jonathan came to David in Horesh and encouraged him in his faith in God, saying, do not be afraid, for my father Saul will never lay a hand on you. You yourself will be the king over Israel, and I will be your second in command. Even my father Saul knows that it is true. Then the two of them made a covenant in the Lord's presence. Afterward, David remained in Horesh while Jonathan went home. Encouragement. As a friend, we need to encourage one another. This is something that people don't often hear a lot. And now Jonathan could have been like, man, I haven't seen you in a couple chapters. Like, man, you look great. This is cool. Like, I know you're running from my dad, but you look awesome. But he didn't in that moment because he knew the seriousness that was on the line. He was encouraging him to not lose hope, to continue on, to continue to have peace, that his dad will not lay a hand on him. Jonathan was encouraging him sincerely and specifically. So when you encourage someone, you need to be sincere and specific with your encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 tells us to therefore encourage one another and build one another up. We are to recognize when our friends receive reward. When they are successful, we need to cheer for them. We need to encourage them to grow in their relationship with Christ. And we don't need to sugarcoat it and be like, man, that dress looks really good on you today, when it doesn't. Don't sugarcoat anything. Be specific. Be encouraging. And remain positive. Even when the situation that person is in may be serious or maybe they've lost hope. So remain positive. Be specific in your encouragement, just as Jonathan was specific in his encouragement. So is it encouragement? I've witnessed with a lot of people, encouragement these days, they don't know how to respond to encouragement. They're like, thanks, and they just kind of like don't say anything else after that, especially through text messages. It's the perfect opportunity to encourage somebody because it'll just leave you on the red for the hour, 2 hours, and they'll say, I don't know what to say to this, but thank you. Encouragement. We've all been probably in the situation of, man, why are you going into that field? Why are you doing that sport? Why are you going to work in that area? Why do you serve in this kind of job? From a personal example, for me, when I was going into ministry, when I started in college and was told my parents that I was going into ministry, my mom was like, awesome. And my dad was a businessman at the time, retired now. And he was like, why? You're not going to make enough money to live. You're not going to have enough money to have a family and be sustainable. Why? Don't do that. Do what I did. Go into the financial field. Then I had countless people telling me I should just go into business. It's dumb. Don't go into ministry. Or the, hey, everybody is called to ministry. So just do it where you are. But I felt like the Lord was constantly calling me into leading a college ministry and college ministry age focus and influencing y'all to strengthen your relationship with the Lord. But it took encouragement from my college pastor. It took encouragement from my girlfriend, my now wife. Encouragement goes a long way. So encourage your friends. Encourage the people around you in your class. There are constantly people in your class that you're sitting beside that are just broken and need some kind of encouragement of like, hey, we're going to get to this test. Encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. Because you have no idea. Encouraging someone daily, just who you're around, you could impact their life for many years to come, but you may never see it. So what I would say to you in this is encouraging your friends with whatever they're doing, encouraging them to give it their all, encouraging them to strengthen their relationship with the Lord, encouraging them to be a part of the church, encouraging them to do things that draw them closer to God. The last thing is kindness. We're going to be in 2 Samuel 9. We're going to jump pretty far up. 2 Samuel 9. I appreciate y'all being flexible with me because I brought my smallest printed Bible for some odd reason here today. Okay, so David's kindness to, can somebody pronounce that name? Mephibosheth. Okay. All right. So 2 Samuel 9, we are going to be starting in verse 1. And David asks, is there anyone remaining in Saul's family I can show kindness to because of Jonathan? Then there was a servant named Ziba. They summoned him to David and said to him, are you Ziba? I am your servant, he replied. So the king asked, is there anyone left in the family that I can show kindness to? And I'm going to stop right there for just a second. So I'm going to explain what has happened. So Jonathan died. Saul is dead as well. David is now the king. David is now the new regime. So he is the new leader. And when you're a new leader, the new leader comes in and says, hey, whoever's left in the Saul line of family, kill them. All right. So when he starts with the, is there anyone left remaining I can show kindness to? They're probably in that first moment of that sentence, people are probably like pretty anxious because, okay, he's asking who's left in the family. And then he says, who can I show that kindness to? Because normally leaders do not bring, when they start a new leadership, they do not keep the people that are underneath them. So Ziba said to the king, there's still Jonathan's son who was injured in both feet. The king asked him where he is. And he answered the king, you will find him in Lodabar at the house of Machir, son of Amiel. So King David had brought from the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lo Bidar. Debar, sorry. And so they had brought him in. They had brought, and when it says he has two injured feet, what it means there is when they were trying to escape all the things, terrible things that were happening with Saul's regime, she had picked him up, and when she went to run away from everything, she tripped and fell. And so when he hit, it hit both of his legs, and he was not able to walk again from that. So Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, bowed down to the ground, and paid homage. And David said to Mephibosheth, "I'm your servant," he replied. "Do not be afraid," David said to him, "since I intend to show you kindness because of your father Jonathan. I will restore you all your grandfather Saul's fields, and you will always eat meals at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you would take an interest in a dead dog like for me?" Take this story, and we are Mephibosheth. Because David could have killed him easily. But what he did was he learned from his friend Jonathan. He learned the loyalty. He learned the sacrifice. He knew what he had found in that. Of like, Jonathan gave everything for him. He sacrificed. And he said, "You know what? From that moment on, anybody that comes from this family, I will show them mercy." Even though Saul did not want to show him mercy. So we are Mephibosheth. Because Jesus, our closest friend, gave everything, died on our behalf so that we could have a seat at the table. So that we could be in a right relationship with God. So as you're looking for friends and you're looking for those lifetime friends that you'll always like, they'll be in your wedding, you'll be able to have kids and they'll just be able to hang out. When you're looking for those people, be praying for those people if you don't have them already in your life. Places to find great friends are college ministries, classmates, people you work with. But if we want to be godly friends, we need to keep these attributes daily. Giving sacrificially to people and not expecting anything back. Having loyalty, being honest, encouraging, and showing kindness to those around us. So as we wrap up tonight, as we looked at the relationship between David and Jonathan, think about the friends in your life right now. Are you struggling with any of these things? Are you struggling with sacrifice? Are you struggling with loyalty, honesty, encouragement, kindness? Are these some of these things that we talked about tonight? Are the things you need from your friends? And as we go into dating, as we go into marriage in the next couple weeks, I pray that these things are helpful to you. Because I don't want to come up here and tell you who you should be friends and who you shouldn't be friends with. I want you to be a God-honoring friend, and I'm going to give you attributes so you can do that with the people that you're meeting and the people that you already have friendships with. All right? So let's pray. And then let's break it out in family after I'm done. And I want you to meet somebody new. Make a friend tonight. All right? We wanted to be super relaxed tonight since the weather's all wonky and it may snow next week. But if y'all didn't know that, yeah, that's the thing. Welcome to Louisiana weather. But let's pray and then meet somebody new. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord, just to be able to look at your word and be able to understand loyal friendship. Godly friendship, Lord, I pray that we would be able to examine ourselves tonight. And if there's any area that we're struggling with, Lord, I pray that you would bring it to the forefront and be able to help us
be strengthened.
Lord, as we have all been sacrificing different things, different friends, Lord, I pray that we could just continue to serve them, be there for them, be loyal to them. Pray that we would continue to be honest, share our struggles, but also learning more about them. Pray that we'd be able to encourage them, build one another up, and strengthen our relationship with them and with you. And as we both are pursuing our relationships, and all of our friends are pursuing you, Lord, I pray that we would all be unified into the college ministry family, church family, Lord, just the family of Christ's followers, Lord, that we are called to be. And even when we fall short, even when we are stabbed in the back, and these things of this world get all mixed up in our friendship, Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen us and guide us. Thank you for sending your one and only Son to die on the cross for us and making us able to just sit at the table, Lord. Even when we're broken, even if we are struggling with things going on in our lives, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bring healing, continue to grow us. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.